But I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me. And Pastor, thank you for the invitation. I'm honored to be here and glad to have Brother Ray here. Brother Ray is my soul winning director back home. And if you come tomorrow, you're going to get a fire lit in your soul for soul winning. I promise you that. He will stir your heart with the gospel. And you'll have a real desire then to go and tell somebody how to get saved. All right, you will. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, they're going to show you how to do it tomorrow. And so I hope you'll be here for that. And Brother Ray doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk and is constantly winning folks to Christ. And we have a church full of trained soul winners. I mean, it's just full of them. And if we got a bunch of people in our church that they have what they call the 3-foot rule. And that means if you get within 3 feet of them, they're going to ask you, if you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Amen. Amen. And so our lay folks win more people to Christ than most preachers do across the country. Yeah. And that's the honest truth. So anyway, I hope you'll be here tomorrow. All right, that's all the advertising I'm going to do. And that's all the laughing you're going to do. All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. And I want to read, I hope, a familiar passage to you, but I want to point out some things in this parable that I trust will be an encouragement and a blessing and will help folks to realize that they need the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. I hope that's what you'll get out of the message this morning. All right, Matthew 20, and let's look at verse 1, and you follow along as I read. Verse 1 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day." Now notice that. He went out early in the morning and he agreed with those that he hired that he would give them a penny for working all day. Now, everybody got that? Nod your heads like this if you do. All right, you got that? He hired them early in the morning to work all day for a set price. And that price was a penny. All right, now read on. It says that he then sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you." And they went their way. Now notice, he told the fellows in the morning at first light at 6, they were standing out there waiting for someone to come along and hire them. And he told them, "You work for me all day, I'll give you a penny." And then he came back 3 hours later and says, "Do you guys want to work?" They said, "Yes." He said, "All right, get in, I'll take you over to the farm. And whatever's right, I will pay you." Now, he didn't tell them he was going to pay them a certain amount. But he said, "Whatever's right, I will pay you." Did you get that? Nod your heads like this. Okay, everybody got it? All right, read on. In verse 5, it says, "And he went out about the 6th and the 9th hour and did likewise." So at 6 in the morning, at 9 in the morning, at noon, and at 3, he did the exact same thing. He went down to the marketplace and hired folks to come and work and told them, whatever's right, I'll pay you. So he has been going all day long. That's what I want you to see. He has been going all day long, and he has been hiring folks and promising them that he would be right with them. He will be just with them. All right, now look at the next phrase, verse 6. Now this is what I'm preaching on this morning. It says, and about the 11th hour. Now what's that? That's 5 o'clock. I mean, in one more hour, folks, the sun is going to go down. You with me on that? So he goes back to the marketplace, and there's a guy standing there, and he says, hey, you want to work? Well, it's 5 o'clock in the evening. Sure, 1 hour is not going to kill me. So he goes out to the vineyard, and he works for an hour. Amazing, isn't it? And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And when the evening was come, watch this now, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last man you hired to the first man you hired. All right, got that? The guy he hired at 5, then go to the guys you hired at 3, then to guys you hired at noon, then the guys you hired at 9, and then the guys you hired at 6, and you pay them. Verse 9, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a what? Amen. All right, now go back, please, for just a moment to verse 2. And notice, he went out early, 6 o'clock in the morning is the inference. He went out at 6 in the morning early to hire, and he told those guys, if you'll come work for me, I will give you a penny. All right, so the guys that worked 12 hours got how much? And the guy that worked 1 hour got how much? Does that sound fair to you? You know, in our world, it wouldn't be fair, would it? In our realm, it wouldn't be fair. Read on. I got to hurry, or I never will get through this. What time's lunch?
When you get done.
What time's supper? I think we ought to shoot for supper. We took the clock down in our church and put a calendar up, just so you know. All right, look at verse 10. It says, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. I mean, they worked 12 hours. They were thinking, man, that guy, he went from first to last. And so the guys that started at 6 o'clock in the morning, they're standing there watching all of this. And the steward comes out and says, when were you hired, sir? He said, 5 o'clock. Okay, here's a penny. And these guys are over here, and they're looking around going, wait a minute, he told us we were going to get a penny. Those jokers only work for 1 hour, and they get a penny? And then they started elbowing one another. And they said, that must mean that we're going to get more. When he gets down to us, we're going to get a bundle of money. But it didn't work that way, did it? No, he gave the guy that worked 12 hours a penny, the guys that worked 3 hours a penny, 6 hours a penny, 9 hours a penny, and then got to them and gave them a penny also. Now, you should not be shocked by that, because that's what they agreed to. In verse 2, nod your heads, right? Okay, are y'all following me all right? All right, we're going to get to the sermon here in a minute. I'm preaching a sermon as I go. All right, when they had look at verse 11. And when they had received it, they, what's the next word?
Murmured
against the good man, the good man, the good man. You know what made him good? He was fair. She said, well, I don't think so. You'll see in a minute. All right, he was fair. Verse 12, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Verse 2, and they did. Verse 14, take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am, what's the next word?
Good.
All right, I'll stop right there. And I want us to pray, and then we'll look at the 11th hour man. The 11th hour man. So keep your Bible open, please. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for the blessed privilege to be in this church this morning. Thank you for Pastor and his family. And Father, thank you for Miss Martha. And oh, how I appreciate all she has done. And Father, I pray you'll bless her richly. We also come now, Father, asking you to bless all the guests who are here today. What a privilege it is to meet new people and to see folks coming to church and being here for the first time. And I just pray that you will bless them and encourage them and help them, Father, to give their undivided attention to what thus saith the Lord for just a few minutes. And Father, may you speak to our hearts. I pray if there is even one soul in this building who is not 100% sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, I pray that today they will see their need. And I pray that they'll receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Bless us, Lord. We need your blessing. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The Lord Jesus taught some amazing things in that last week before he went to the cross. He's in Jerusalem, and he's got a mass of people who are following him everywhere he goes. And so he spoke to those people and encouraged them and tried his best to get them to trust him as their Savior. Now, before us this morning is a parable. This is a parable, and a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. All right, you get that? It's an earthly story. It's something that happens here, but it has spiritual application to it. And I want you to remember that, because that's what I'm going to show you this morning about this 11th hour man. In Bible terminology, the day had 12 hours from 6 to 6. And then the night had 12 hours from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So you had 12 hours of day and you had 12 hours of the night. And so when you read in your Bible, especially in the Gospels, where it will say, and about the sixth hour, all right, that's the sixth hour from 6 o'clock in the morning, which would make the sixth hour what? Noon, exactly right. You get an A. All right, so you see that all through the New Testament and Old Testament too, but mainly through the Gospels. And it will say the 6th hour or the 3rd hour, or whatever the case may be. But I want you to notice now, and we have early in the morning, which they would have known was 6. And then we have in verse 3, the 3rd hour. And then we have in verse 5, the 6th hour and the 9th hour. And then we have something really unusual. In verse 6, we read about the 11th hour. Now, folks, I don't think there's any other place in the whole Bible where the 11th hour is mentioned. Nothing ever happened in the Bible at the 11th hour. Nowhere else is the 11th hour referenced because it is an unusual hour. The first hour, 6 o'clock a.m., the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth, those are all hours of prayer. The Jews would stop, the Orthodox, and they would pray at those times. But the 11th hour, nothing ever happened at the 11th hour. And I'm sure when the Lord started telling this parable, they were all standing around giggling. 11th hour? Are you kidding me? Nothing ever happens at the 11th hour. Why would he hire this guy at the 11th hour? All right, so the story that we have this morning is presenting us a fellow who gets into the kingdom at the last minute, at the 11th hour. You see, there's only 1 hour left in the day. And if this guy doesn't come to work, if he doesn't get in now, he's not going to get in. The day is going to be over. The day is going to be over. I mean, think about it, folks. It would be better for everyone to get saved early in their lives. It would be so much better. I mean, you would not have to incur the scars of sin or develop appetites that you have to battle your entire adult life. And so it would be much better if you would come to Christ when you're a child and trust the Lord and grow up knowing your Bible and living for the Lord. But the amazing thing is, now hear me now, listen. The amazing thing is that the Lord Jesus is showing us that even at the 11th hour, you can still come to the Lord.
Amen.
Now, isn't that great to know?
Yeah.
I remember in the very first church I pastored, there was a fella 99 years of age that lived in our community. And I walked the road there and visited all those houses, knocked on every one of those doors. And I knocked on this door and I heard a voice saying, "Come on in." It was rural West Virginia. You didn't worry about it. So I went in and there was a fella sitting there watching TV, whittling, dropping the shavings on the floor. Now, he took a wisp and swept them up, but he was just whittling on a piece of wood. I didn't ask. I just sat down. I said, "I'm the pastor down to church." He said, "Oh." He said, "I heard they got a new pastor. You sure you're the pastor? You're awful young." I said, "Yes, sir, I'm the pastor." So we got to talking, and I asked him, if he died today, what did he know he'd go to heaven? He said, "Now, can a man know that?" I said, "Oh, yes, sir, you can." And at 99 and a half years of age, that man trusted Christ as his Savior. You see, you can get in because of the grace of God. You can get in right at the last minute. As long as you are breathing air, there is still time for you to get in, even if it's the 11th hour. Now, there are so many ramifications to this parable, but I want to approach it from the standpoint of the 11th hour. Let me point out a couple of things to you. First of all, I want you to notice that there is no hint whatsoever, none, that this fella, this 11th hour man, was a bad person. There is absolutely no indication, not even the slightest hint, that this fella was a bad person. Now, there are some other 11th hour men in the Bible, and we know they were bad people. There are several of them. Let me just refer one of them to you. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was crucified, there were two thieves crucified on either side of him? They crucified him in the middle as if to say he was worse than the other two. And both of them were seditionists and murderers. And so there they are, dying. And I guess he's the most famous 11th hour man in all the Bible. I mean, if ever there was an 11th hour man, this thief was. He had left his home. He had broken his mother's heart. He had caused his daddy to have ulcers. He had chosen a life of crime and debauchery. And when we see him in the scriptures, he is just a few hours from death. He's hanging on a cross. Now, both criminals on either side, both of them had the same opportunity. One accepted, the other rejected. Those famous words that he spoke are still being thundered across pulpits in around the world when he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." But wait a minute. Where else does this fellow have to turn? You see, he can't help himself. He can't say, "Excuse me, sir, Mr. Roman soldier, excuse me, I've had a change of heart. I want you to let me down. I'll be good from now on. Just let me down." No, he can't do that. He's condemned to die. He can't say, "Excuse me, but hey, if you guys will just let me down, I'll turn over a new leaf." Folks, salvation is not reformation. Salvation is salvation. You are saved from hell, saved from your sin. And so that man on the cross cannot say, "Well, I'm going to be good now. I'm going to turn over a new leaf." Folks, listen, you can turn the whole tree over if you want to. That's not going to get you into heaven. You've got to trust the Lord. And thank the Lord this man did. He said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And you remember the other thief, he mocked and laughed and rejected the grace that he was offered even in the 11th hour. Even though he knew he was dying, he said no. And the other fella said, "Lord, remember me." But I want you to notice that the man, this 11th hour man in our story, he's just he's a good fella. There's nothing bad spoken here about him. He's just an ordinary Joe. He is not like the prodigal who was the prodigal son in the Gospel of Luke, who was standing in the far country. He was not like that bunch of thieves down on the road that goes from Jerusalem to Jericho. No, he is standing in this text for the ordinary man, the well-intentioned person, yet at the 11th hour, he is still outside the kingdom. Still outside the kingdom. Just an ordinary fellow. Second thing I want you to notice. I want you to notice that this fella, an ordinary man, was called in the 11th hour. And folks, I cannot tell you how strange that is. That's really what attracted me to this story and where this sermon came from. When I read that it was the 11th hour, I stopped. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. The 11th hour? That's weird. I mean, he's wasted the whole day. And in the picture, he's wasted his whole life. It's now the 11th hour for him. He is soon going to go into eternity. And folks, let me tell, I don't want to shock you here, but listen very carefully. You must live somewhere forever.
That's right.
Amen. You must. You must live somewhere forever. And it may be the 11th hour for somebody in this room right now. You say, well, I got plenty of time. You don't know that. You don't know that. There was also in my first church that I pastored, there was a fella lived up on the hill, and I knocked on his door. And his wife said, he's out in the garage. So I went out in the garage. He was underneath a truck. And he said, who's here? And I said, I'm Pastor Norris. What? I'm the preacher, church down the bottom of the hill. He said, oh, he scooted out on that little dolly he was on. He looked at me and he said, didn't get up, just laying there. And he said, I don't have time for church. I don't have time for God. I don't have time for you. I got to get this job done. I said, all right. So I took a tract out, laid it on the bench, and I said, read this when you get a chance. Yeah, whatever. That's what he said. Yeah, whatever. 1 week later, 1 week, that truck that he had just repaired, he had an accident, went down an embankment and hit a tree. They had to come and cut him out of that car. His wife called and said, Pastor, he's over in Parkersburg at the hospital, at United Hospital Center. Can you go see him? I said, sure. I got in the car and I drove an hour over to the hospital. And when I went in the room, he was laying upside down in a halo. His head was down here, his feet were up here, and he had a halo on so he wouldn't move his head. Somehow or another, he survived that accident. But he was paralyzed for life. When I walked in, I walked around like this and I looked down upon him. And when he saw me, big old tears started rolling down his face. And he said, I guess I got time now, don't I, Pastor?
Wow.
I said, yes, sir, you sure do. And in just a few minutes' time, he trusted the Lord as his Savior.
Amen.
You see, you don't know how much time you got left.
Right.
And you may be here this morning and you think you got the world by the tail. But let me tell you something, dear friend. The 11th hour is coming for each and every one of us. You may be 95 when it's your 11th hour, or you could be a teenager when it's your 11th hour. But heaven is a prepared place for a prepared person. And you've got to trust the Lord as your Savior. You know, I told you a moment ago, the sixth hour and the ninth hours, those were both great hours in Scripture, both of them. The darkness fell upon the cross when Jesus was on the cross at the sixth hour. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, he was, in the third hour, he was placed on the cross. But the 11th hour is an hour in Scripture where nothing happens. And yet, at the 11th hour, this man came to the Lord. Let me ask you, could it be your 11th hour this morning? I mean, maybe somebody invited you, and in your wildest dreams, you never thought that you've driven by this church umpteen times. And never in your wildest dreams did you ever think you'd be sitting in the Volusia County Baptist Church. And yet, here you are. Could it be that the Holy Spirit of God led you here? Because He knows that you're in the 11th hour. Yes, sir. And He is just by His grace giving you another opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Think about that. Think about that. Let me show you a third thing. Number three, notice with me that this employer was an extraordinary fella. He was an extraordinary fella. I mean, I think that's the point that the Lord Jesus is so eager to impress upon us when He told this parable. The householder, the employer, was an extraordinary man. You see, had the employer been thinking of anything else other than his grapes, he would have never acted in this amazing fashion. I mean, think about it, folks. To hire men when the working day is coming to a close in 1 hour. You really must be concerned about your crops if you're going to do that. You have to admit, his action is kind of strange, don't you think? But I imagine that about this time in the story, a smile flashed across the Lord Jesus' face as He told the story, as if to say, that is exactly what I'm driving at. That's exactly what I want you to see. I want you to remember that my householder is God. And my householder is good. My ways are not your ways, and neither are my thoughts your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8. The point our Lord is making is this, folks. This was an extraordinary householder because God is an extraordinary God. Amen. You say, well, how extraordinary is God? I'll tell you how extraordinary He is. He is so extraordinary, He sent His only begotten Son to die on that old rugged cross to pay the penalty that you and I owe for sin. Amen. Now, I have two girls. I have one son. He's the only son. And I'm telling you right now, there is absolutely no way that I would give my son to die for some old drug addict or some old alcoholic. I just couldn't do it. And I'll be honest with you, folks, I've thought about that. I've thought about that. Could I give my son? I don't think I could. But God did. You know why God did? We read it in the reading a while ago. For God so loved the world. That he, what's the next word?
Gave
his only begotten Son. That whosoever, that's you, that's me, believeth in him should not perish. That means go to hell. That means spend eternity in hell, but have everlasting life. Ooh, I like that everlasting thing. Don't you get tired of having to go to bed? And then you get tired of having to get up? I mean, let's do one or the other, you know? I mean, think about it. I don't know about you, but I go to bed tired and I get up tireder. You hear about these people that bounce out of bed? Not me. I resurrect from the dead every morning. It's awful. I walked in the bathroom the other day at 6:15 and my wife, she gets up with the chickens. And when I walked in the bathroom to get in the shower, she looked over at me and she said, "I know you hate getting up." I said, "Do I really say that a lot?" She goes, "Every morning." So I got to quit saying that. I'm telling you, folks, you can see how wonderful God is in his grace toward you. I don't know who is here this morning and who's saved and who's not. I don't know that. I don't know that. But God knows. And do you think it is an accident that you came to church this morning to hear that Jesus died for you? No, it was not an accident. Just as the householder, listen carefully now, just as the householder called this man in our story, the 11th hour man, God this morning is calling you. And he wants you to trust the Lord as your Savior. You don't know what hour it is. And I'm not trying to alarm you, but it just could be your 11th hour. And if it is, I should not be surprised that our loving, compassionate, merciful God would be speaking to your heart right now. Now, one more thing. Number four, I want you to notice this 11th hour man got far more than he ever dreamed he would get. He got far more than he ever dreamed he would get. Don't you think it's strange that the householder said to the steward, start with the guys we just hired at the 11th hour and work your way back. And so here's the 11th hour man. He's standing there. He's worked 1 hour. Here's the excuse he gave. "No man would hire me." That's a lie. That's a lie. The householder went to the market at 6 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, at noon, at 3. And he went back again at the 11th hour. "No man would hire you." Truth of the matter is, he probably slept in till 10. And then he went down to McDonald's. Well, not McDonald's, McDavid's. And then he probably went over to the VFW. And then he probably went back home and took an hour's siesta. And then at 11 o'clock, his wife said, "You sorry thing, are you ever going to get out of bed and get a job?" And he looks at his watch and he says, "You know, I don't think anybody would hire me at 11. Well, you need to get out of this house. You're driving me crazy." So he gets up and he walks down to the market and he's standing there. He thought, "Well, I can hang out here for an hour." So he's hanging out, leaning against the wall, talking to his buddies, and here comes the householder. "You want a job?" "Oh, I guess. Get in. So they got in the wagon and he took them 1 hour. Pay time. Here, sir. I know you only worked 1 hour, but my master, he's a good master. Here's a penny. Wow. Now that's a day's wage. All right. That's a day's wage. Today it would be, you know, the picture's what's important. So he got like $100 for working a day or an hour. And then he went to these guys and they're standing there and said, wow, he got a penny. Maybe we're going to get three. And he said, here's a penny for you. You only worked 3 hours, but thank you for your service. And he went to the guy, you only worked 6 hours, but here. You only worked 9 hours, but here. Here's your penny. And these guys are standing over here going, wait a minute. We worked all day. Well, we agreed on you getting a penny. Now, what's the point? Folks, watch this. This is so good. I wish I didn't know this so I could learn it all over again. Watch. Can you see me? Here's the point. Watch this. The 11th hour man, he got the same thing that the 1 hour man got. You know what that means? That means that when you get in the kingdom, when you become a child of God, it does not matter when you get in. You get the same heaven.
Amen.
As everybody else.
Amen. Yes.
You see, we're not going to leave here and go to heaven and have stages of heaven. No. We're all going to be walking on streets of gold. I mean, that which we kill one another for down here, we're going to walk on it up there.
Amen.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? And we get the same heaven. You know what that means? That means that thief on the cross, he got the exact same heaven as the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to be honest with you, folks. When I get up there, I want to see some of these guys. I want to see that thief on the cross. I want to shake his hand and say, hey, 11th hour man, you done good, boy. You really did well. You got in. Now, how about you, dear friend? Is it the 11th hour for anyone here? And you're not yet saved. I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love and grace. And thank you for this parable that shows us the 11th hour man. Very strange. Nothing ever happened at the 11th hour in the Bible. But that shows us your grace, your mercy. Even at the 11th hour of life, we can still get in the family. And Father, if there's anybody here today who is not sure they're saved, I pray that today will be the day that they ask the Lord Jesus to come into their heart, forgive them of their sin, so they can know that they have an eternal home in heaven. So, Father, bless now.